Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Bill Leahy to the podcast. Welcome back, Bill.
Hey, James. Thank you.
So, Bill, you recently finished up a semester with an online MBA program, correct? Or distance learning?
Yes, I did. Through the University of Tennessee, it's not an MBA program. It's actually the Maintainability and Reliability Engineering program.
Excellent.
Yeah. The Tickle School of Engineering at UTK.
Perfect. So with that, you're doing that, plus you're a senior instructor with Iridicio.
Yes, and associate head coach with the United States Coast Guard Academy hockey team, which we are currently ranked fifth in the nation for the Northeast. Just throwing that out there to let you know.
Hey, no problem. I know how passionate you are about hockey. So now, you know, we've been on a bunch of podcasts, so we're not going to dive deep into your background, but how long have you been involved in maintenance and reliability?
4 years in the civilian world, a couple years as a maintenance manager, and then the last 2 years I've been a senior instructor for Iridicio, working with inspired blended learning candidates and various clients throughout the country.
Excellent. So, as I mentioned, you recently completed your first semester with that online or distance program. How did you find doing that online or via distance learning?
To be forthright, I found it to be much more challenging than I originally anticipated. A lot of it had to do with the curriculum and the difficulty of going back to school after 10 years removed from West Point. That was a big challenge. I was a bit cocky going into it because I had done distance learning in the past as an IBL student with Iridicio, and I've also success has come fairly easy to me in the classroom in the past. So between those two factors, I went into it with an inflated head and quickly got drawn back to earth as I navigated through that first semester.
All right, so it was more around the content, a little bit of an ego, if you will. But what about the format for distance learning? Why would someone choose to do distance learning or online learning?
The flexibility of it is really the best part. Because like you said, I've been doing my regular work, juggling that with two young kids and a wife, and coaching hockey, so some of those more selfish pursuits and passions, and the flexibility of it. I out of probably 40 classes that they live stream, I was able to attend one live for the semester. And I just happened to be home that week. And the rest I would catch up on tape delayed. One class used YouTube as a platform and the other one used the UT streaming service as their platform. And I would watch it late at night in the hotel room after getting the rest of my work done and work through that. So you trade sleep for the flexibility of the online program.
Excellent. So we get some flexibility at the cost of maybe some sleep, but what are some of the advantages or other disadvantages of distance learning then?
Another good advantage of it is the cost. Now, this is something. So these universities, a lot of times they're shifting to this to become more competitive in that environment. They are offering reduced cost to online students. Mainly we get in-state tuition in this particular program. So you get an engineering program at in-state tuition, which is a significant difference So cost is one advantage of doing it online. The biggest disadvantage is you're disconnected from your classmates and the professors. Very different from my previous distance learning experience as an IBL student, where you had a dedicated coach to you in that program that was always available to you. And the two-week kickoff that you would have with these people in person, so you have all your classmates with you, and it's a much smaller, more intimate environment. So we would bounce ideas off each other there. This is completely different. A master's program is exactly that. It's intense, and it is up to the individual to be successful with it. All right. So I had to put a lot of extra time in. If I wanted to engage with an instructor, it took a lot of coordination because they had specific office hours for like an hour to two a week that we would have to jump in and live stream. And if I was unavailable to meet that time, I'd have to schedule something else.
So some of that lack of face-to-face was overcome through the office hours portion, where you would jump online, have the conversation, live stream, those sorts of things. And then if you weren't available for that, you had to set a separate time and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And a lot of times they weren't available or they didn't have the time. And then you were also communicating, you know, through that online platform. And if you schedule an hour, the first half hour of it is trying to, you know, get linked up so you can actually communicate. They can see your screen and so on. It was a very difficult process. So what I found in most cases, I was teaching myself, which is actually a great advantage because that is how we learned at West Point. We called it the Thayer method, which is you would do your homework before that particular class, and you would come in and the instructor would say, what are your questions on the homework from last night? So you teach yourself the material, come in and get help where needed. And you really, it's a good way to learn something.
Yeah, it allows you to struggle with it, to try and understand it, and then learn from those failures, learn from those mistakes. Because some of the best learnings I've ever had was from when I failed miserably at something and then had it re-explained or demonstrated a different way, and then it clicked.
Yeah, I mean, a great example of it is, so the one class I took, which a lot of the material is familiar to me, but the midterm was an absolute debacle. And then I was able to get a 95% on the final. So I went through and had those struggles all throughout the semester, but eventually did learn all the material. And at the end, after all the reviews and the training, I really feel like I know it now.
Excellent. So you mentioned that you had some face-to-face time, but you didn't have a dedicated coach, did you, to help you through some of this stuff?
No, the TA you would engage with could change from each time. The students that would attend the online office hours would be different. It was challenging. And oftentimes I found myself finding other solutions to get the help that I needed.
All right. Excellent. Was that the role of having a dedicated coach?
Yeah. So I found I was lucky. So the most difficult part for me was, so having been out of school for so long, math is definitely a perishable skill. So coming back into it and reteaching myself statistics, which I took 12 years ago, that was the most challenging part. And then also learning the coding platforms of Python, Jupyter and R, and understanding how to use those in statistics. So I actually found a really great symbiotic relationship with the Coast Guard Academy, which is about a mile and a half down the road from where I live. So I work with their hockey team and write the practice plans and help those guys out. And the other coach, Commander Hamill, is a math instructor. And he gave me access to his entire stable of very, very smart math instructors that he has there. So they were able to help me through Python and Jupyter and the statistics that I needed. So it really worked out great.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com. Now you have access to these coaches. What made them effective in helping you understand that math, helping you work through those problems?
Well, they knew exactly. Well, one of the big advantages was it was easy to relate to them because I come from that same military academy background, which is a great thing. And what I found in my previous distance learning is the coaches that they have for IBL all have the same experience. They worked in facilities. They have done everything they're asking you to do. I didn't have that same kind of relationship with the instructors and regular academia because they were engineers from the research side and they're working on their doctorates or have completed them. And they don't have that same experience in maintenance that I have. So the relationship was slightly different there, where our ability to communicate in that way and how we function in our regular business worlds were definitely different.
Yeah, and I think that's a big piece. That's, you know, almost what we would call the operating context of it. Having overcome those issues, having applied this in the real world, that plays a big role in being able to coach effectively versus someone who just does it in theory, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And they, I mean, very, very bright people, excellent instructors and all that. But it's different when you can hear those stories and, you know, your coach can picture himself in that facility, in your shoes, talking to those same millwrights and electricians and operators. It makes a big difference. And one of the other focuses was where we were working mainly maintenance and reliability. For asset care, this class was also focused on a lot of product reliability and reducing MTTF instead of MTBF.
Yeah, so it was. Well, it's not just focused on the asset management side, but also the product reliability side and all those other things, correct?
Yes, and I would say it's almost more focused on the product reliability, just, you know, preventing, extending the life before that first failure is the most important thing to them. We use the same tools, you know, design for reliability has FMEA processes in it, a root cause analysis, but it is different.
Yeah, it's similar but different. I have the CRE body of knowledge sitting over here on my shelf, and there's a lot of that focused on product development, design for reliability, various testing methods, stuff like that. While they're applicable, we don't do a lot of that stuff in asset management. Not saying we shouldn't, but we don't, and vice versa, right? So there is same tools, different applications, different usage, how frequently they use, that all changes.
Yeah, so that was one of the big challenges is that in the maintainability world, I've done asset care in the real world, you know, researched it, read all those books, and this was a different twist on it, and this was what more their realm and what they were comfortable with. So there was a slight disconnect there. But the relationship I had with the Coast Guard Academy instructors, again, we had a familiar background and they grew up in that world and learned how to teach in that world. And it was very easy to relate to them, which I think is a very important part of coaching, is developing that relationship.
So with that, how does one be an effective coach? You establish that relationship, like you just mentioned, but what else?
Making yourself available and approachable are two very big things. Having that accessibility is important. Getting back to people when they send you an email or give you a phone call, and taking that extra effort is that builds that trust that's in there with being a coach, knowing that someone is there and willing to help you, builds a relationship. Because when you go through programs like this, it is very challenging. The IBL program in particular, it takes a lot of time. And we say you enter that valley of despair early on, and knowing that there is someone there, you know, spotting you on the bench press makes a big difference.
Yep, absolutely. So with that, once we have an effective coach, and in your opinion, because you were just a coachee, if you will, what does it take to be an effective coachee?
One, a big one, is the ability to be vulnerable and ask for help when you need it. That's a skill, I would say, is being able to ask for help when you need it. Struggling is great to a point, right? You learn a lot from that, but there comes a time when you need to be able to, you know, shoot the flare into the air and say, I need some help with this. So that's a big challenge a lot of people have. I think especially in our world, we have a lot of very strong personalities that, you know, want to have all the answers and be the guy everybody looks up to. And then it can be difficult to go out and say, I need some help here.
Yep, absolutely. Now, when you're working with your various coaches, whether they're TAs, the instructors from the Coast Guard Academy, those sorts of things, which stuck out as you as some great techniques that they use to convey information, to push you in the right direction, to get you to think differently? What were some of those things they did?
The best things that both sides of the house did, so both the UT instructors and the Coast Guard guys that helped me out, was working through examples. That is how I best learn. So we would go through and do the examples together. And then when I was watching the videos, again, this was the most effective tool for me, was they would do the examples and I would have it there in front of me and I could rewind and play it again and do it over and over again. So there's a lot of muscle memory in it and getting to observe them going through those problems. And that's another big advantage of distance learning, is having that. I mean, you have that format in you. You can take the pieces that you need and you can watch it over and over and over again.
Yep, absolutely. You can go back, review content easily. You don't have to interrupt the instructor, have him go back and demonstrate again and so on and so forth. There are some unique advantages to it.
Yeah, that was definitely one that I found. Sorry.
Nope. So with that, are there any other thoughts on coaching that you wanted to share with our listeners and or distance education and how they can use it or be better at it or anything of that nature?
I think, distance education is a wonderful option that is out there. I think there's a lot to be taken advantage of. I think people can be intimidated by it because of the amount of time or the expectations that they have for it or in some of the fears. But if you just jump into it and do it, you'll find that you can navigate it. There is a lot of flexibility in it. You don't have to sacrifice your personal life in order to accomplish some of these things. But there's a lot of good training out there and a lot of opportunities for people to better themselves.
All right. Now, if you had that magic wand again, what would you change in the typical way distance learning is utilized? What would you do differently?
I would like to find... If I had a magic wand and I was going to go back and change something in particular, I would make it easier for peers to interact within the learning community. And I think that is, I was fortunate enough with my IBL class. We were all from the same company and we were able to stay in touch throughout the entire thing. We scheduled calls, shared documents with each other, and it made it a lot easier, you know, struggling with other people. This semester I'm going to make an effort with my UT classmates to build some relationships and be able to talk with them through problems and such. And they do have an online community, and I think some people did take advantage of it, but I neglected to do so this past semester. But if I had a magic wand, I would probably go back in time and plug myself in a little bit more.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's that 70-20-10 model out there where a big component is that social piece, right? It's that social learning. Having those conversations, bouncing ideas off each other, that helps us absorb that material so much well. And I think that definitely is needed in any form of distance learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as humans, we have an inherent need for community in everything that we do, and education is no different.
Exactly. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today?
Don't be afraid to go out and challenge yourself with distance learning. I mean, you will get yourself through it if you go and make a good, honest attempt at it. The training is out there, and it'll open a lot of doors for you. Our IBL students, I mean, it is the ones that are successful with it, they continue that success in their careers and their professional lives afterwards.
Yep, absolutely. And there's various ones. There's various other online trainings as well, or distance learning trainings like Coursera, and there's a few others that allow you to take courses from various universities across the nation. That, you know, teach you a lot of different things. And sometimes there's no cost. Sometimes there's just a little cost to do that. And it will definitely help you upgrade those skills.
And that's what I was about to say. There is a lot of options out there that are absolutely cost-free. It's just a matter of going out and finding what you need. And if you ask, there will be a lot of enthusiastic leaders out there that would love to help facilitate your continued education.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for the time today to talk to us about distance learning, coaching, how to be successful with distance learning, those types of things. Where can people find out more about you?
My LinkedIn page is the best way to get in contact with me or learn a little bit more. You can feel free to email me, ask any questions that you have, and I would love to start a dialogue with anyone out there that wants to learn a little bit more.
Excellent. I'll make sure to put links to those in the show notes so people can get access to you quickly. Well, Bill, I appreciate it, and want to thank you again for coming online and sharing your experience and how to be successful with distance learning.
All right. Thank you very much, James. Merry Christmas.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.